Okay, here we go. Yeah, to be able to figure out our destiny and a person's destiny is probably the most challenging aspects in life, because how do you go about figuring it out? How does a person really be able to go in and understand what they've been put on this planet for? It's an incredibly challenging, daunting task. To be able to do such, where do you start? So there was, if you guys know in the Supermans, the original ones, right? There was an actor named Christopher Reeve.
Mm-hmm.
Familiar?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So familiar with Christopher Reeve? Very strong, good-looking guy. Like the typical. If you could pick an actor that looks like Superman, I don't know. Hollywood got that right. Like, he had the look, he had the image, and it was right. So, but in his personal life, he had an accident.
Yeah.
When he was an equestrian, meaning he rode horses. He loved horses, and he had an accident that threw him off the horse. He broke his neck, and basically became a quadriplegic.
Yeah.
And when he was in the hospital, his lungs were filling up and he was very much close to death, and the doctors for sure told him he'll never be able to walk again. And his wife came to him and said, he said, that's it, I'm dead. It's over. I'm gone. And he answered, she answered him, no, you are you. You're still here. And he wrote a book, I'm Still Here. Because internally he's like, I'm still here. Even though my body and my persona and what I am is basically gone, and what he thought was who he was is gone, in fact, changed and transformed him to being, at least the last few years of his life, he didn't live so much longer after his accident, mm-hmm. but the last, I think it was 5-6 years of his life, he became like a figure of being able to show that there's a person that is not just built on persona of what it is in Hollywood or the physicality aspect of life, but there's more of a spiritual internal battle that a person can achieve in life, and he showed that he could do it. I mean, quadriplegics and talks and showing people that that a person can transform themselves. And that's a perfect intro to the ability of what we're here for and what we're supposed to do in our own lives. So of course we can go to the sources to learn of what is it and at what point are we supposed to transform? How do we do it? Finding out our destiny. So let's start with actually in this this week's Torah portion, which is has now what I'm going to try to build up here is going to be quite difficult. There's a lot of different sources that I'm going to try to keep very simple. But it does get complex as far as the understanding of what's really going on. But let's try to break it down. Let's see, maybe use a little analysis to be able to come out with a clarity on transformation, at least in aspects of how we should be looking at it. And obviously the goal is to look internally, to be able to build ourselves and build on what we were supposed to become. So it says that that in a very tragic case, that which was Yaakov also had a famous daughter. Maybe many people don't actually know about. Right? Anyone know her name?
Say that again.
Yaakov had a famous daughter. Her name is Dina, right? Her name is Dina,
yeah.
Right? So not so many people know, or maybe you've heard the story, but it's a tragic. It's actually a very tragic story. That it says, Teitse Dina. Dina went out, and once she go out, it says that Yaakov finally gets past his challenge of his brother, and with Esav, and he comes into the land of Israel. And he comes with, it says, Shalom, he becomes whole. And he's going to Shechem, the place inside of Israel, to dwell. And finally, like, you know, he got his family together. Everything's good. Survived his brother who was trying to kill him. And he's built up the Jewish people. And he's coming to the land of Israel. And everything's like, finally, like, everything is calming down. And looks like, you know, I'm going to settle into retirement. Things are going to be great. We're going to build the family, and we're going to populate the land of Israel, and we're going to go on to Jewish destiny as it's supposed to be, right? So the next moment, as soon as he comes into the land of Israel, and comes into Shechem, what happens is his daughter goes out. You know, it says literally she goes out on the town. The daughter of Leah, and listen to the statement, it says, Teitse Dina bat Leah, and Dina went out, the daughter of Leah. That was born to Yaakov in order to go in to see the girls of the land. She wanted to go see what's going on in the land, right? She wants to go see the girls. First of all, a couple questions that we can ask, right? Who's she going to see? What was she going on in the town? She wants to go shopping? She went to the mall? Like, what was she doing? You know? Who's she going to see out there? What was her purpose? What? Seeing a man?
To find a man.
To find a man? It says actually the opposite. She's going to maybe it's LA. Let's not go there. But no, she was going to find girlfriends. I mean, that's what it seems like, that she was going to find friends. She went out to go see if she could see what the other girls in the town are doing. You know, what are they up to? At least that's what on the basics. But we can ask. And then, well, let's go on and continue with the story. I'll say it outside. What happened? She saw the leader of the town, basically it's not really the mayor, but the ruler of the town. His son took an attraction to her. Says he, passion towards her and tried to seduce her. But in the end, obviously she was the daughter of Yaakov. She wasn't interested. And he took her. And he took her and he raped her. And he held her captive. But it says that he really, you know, loved her and like, you know, he wanted to marry her. So he got his father to go and try to negotiate with Yaakov. And meanwhile, she's in captivity. They didn't let her go and then say, oh, we want my son to marry your son. Your daughter, excuse me. Maybe that was also a slip of the tongue, right? Anyway, he wanted to see if he could make a shidduch with Yaakov. But in this situation, it wasn't such a great situation, especially when she's being held captive.
Yeah.
Doesn't really look good either. So, in short, this is not the topic or the discussion. But Yaakov didn't know what to do. The sons, in particular Shimon and Levi, got together and said, made a trick against the town. Said, "Listen, we'll agree. No problem. You can have our sister in marriage, but we have a condition. We can't marry someone that's not circumcised." And your whole town is not circumcised. So if you agree to get circumcised and the entire town agrees to get circumcised, no problem, you can marry my sister.
Wait, I have a question. Why would they even ask for permission if they already have her in captivity?
Because, you know, they want to make it, in the end, good question.
Yeah.
There's actually like a lot of commentary on that. One is that they, you know, even the non-Jewish population have rules against, even to this day, against, you know, rape and holding people against their will. And even back then, that was definitely in place. So he wanted to kind of cover it to make it, you know, okay. I mean, these things always happened. And they're cover-ups, you know, like, as today also you can hear of cover-ups all over, right? So there's things that happened today and happened then. But overall, he was trying to make it into a, you know, legitimate act, right? And the father was trying to cover up for the son.
And why, like, the whole town? Why not just him?
Right, so they made the excuse that, listen, if we're going to be okay to dwell in the town and we're going to be invited into your town, we can't be sticking out. We got circumcisions. This is what we do. So if you want to have us join your town, no problem. But you got to take this home. That's how they convinced them. The leader went back to the townspeople and said, listen, we're going to marry their daughters. We'll take them in and we'll take advantage of them. Don't worry, it'll be nice and good for everyone. So he convinced them. They agreed. So Shimon and Levi came in and killed everyone. Killed all the men. Killed all the men in the town. Wiped out the father, wiped out the son, wiped out all the men, and then took Dina back and escaped.
Wait,
that was the story. This was, you know, and then there was a little bit of an argument with the father, which maybe we'll talk about at a different time. What was that argument and how that translated? But that's not for now. It's a very crazy whole set of events and what was going on and who was right, what was wrong. Was it really right to, did they have the right to go kill out everyone? That was a good question that everyone deals with.
Did they raped her?
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was a story
of an angry father.
It was no. We'll leave that for a different time. It's also a good discussion, and get into that at a different point. Getting back to our point. So Dina, daughter of Leah. Question is, in the statement itself, in the statement it says when we're introduced to Dina, it says she's the daughter of who?
Leah.
Why are we mentioning she's the daughter of Leah? Okay. Well, she's the daughter of Leah, but not daughter of Yaakov. What? Why? Like, what are you mentioning this? And one thing you can say, like, you know, Rivki, she's definitely the daughter of Tova. Why? Because her the way she speaks and the way she her intonations are definitely Tova, right? It's like little Tova. So is that what it was saying? Yes, right. Is that what it was saying? She's upstairs. Especially in this discussion, let's keep her upstairs. The idea here, though, is what was the statement coming to tell us that she was the daughter of Leah and not really the daughter of Yaakov. Obviously, the statement in the Torah is coming to tell us and teach us something about that. Question is what? Question number two.
Sorry, are women usually in the Torah not referred to, because like when we pray, we use our mom's name.
Right.
But whatever. So do they not do the same thing when they refer to ladies in the Torah?
They do, but it's not in the sense of prayer here. It's a specific... You see, listen, I'll tell you the entire statement. It says that Dina was the daughter of Leah that was born to Yaakov. So don't mention either, right? Yeah. Either don't mention either. Just say Dina. Or just say, okay, Dina, the daughter of Leah. But why is she the daughter of Leah that was born to Yaakov? It seems like it's almost like...
Distance.
The distance is more of an emphasis on... Clearly an emphasis on Leah, right? And not the daughter of Yaakov. What is specific to Leah here? Question number two is, What do you guys think? Is this is this statement positive or negative? When it says to us, Dino went out to go see the girls of the land, right? Was that positive or negative? Is the connotation positive or negative?
Question mark.
Right? We don't know. So says Rashi, answering the first question. This was not Yaakov. This was not Yaakov, meaning he asked our question. Was this not Yaakov's daughter? And he answers, rather she goes out. Going out is like Leah went out. That's why it's saying it's Leah's daughter, because Leah also went out. What was that? And it says parable like mother, like daughter. Meaning, just like the mother went out previously, she liked to go out on the town, I guess. We'll see in what case in a second. But this is all it says. So is Leah. Excuse me. So is Dina. She's like her mother. She likes to go out. Again, in your interpretation of what Rashi is coming to tell us, positive or negative?
Negative.
Negative? Anyone else? Again, I'll tell you again. That what Rashi's asking, wait, why is it Yaakov, not Yaakov's daughter? Why? Because rather she goes out. She goes out referring that Leah also went out. Like, and then what is it? The parable is like mother and like daughter. Both of them like they go out on the town.
Hold on. So does this mean that Leah got pregnant from going and getting
pregnant? No. We'll go back to that. Okay. No, she didn't have an inappropriate relationship. No. But it seems like, you know, that mother like daughter here going out on the town. Is it positive or negative?
Negative.
Positive or negative? Negative. So people are saying negative. Huh?
Going out is great.
Going out is great.
Girl.
I feel like
it sounds natural to me.
I feel like because it's a woman, it's bad, but if it was a male, it'd be fine.
No, but I feel like kind of like, look what happened.
So Dina's
like,
saying
have gone
a good point.
That happened.
Dina's saying a good point. It's like, see what happened. If she would not have gone out, then what would have happened?
She wouldn't have gotten abducted.
She wouldn't have gotten abducted. Yeah.
The fact that it says to see the women of the town, does it just implying
that she was just looking to
go out, and
she had no intention of
looking for her. Fine.
Right. Very good point. Yeah, we'll get back to that.
Is this discussion about destiny? Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Maybe the notion is, regardless, this was her destiny, regardless of whether she were to go out or not.
Oh, beautiful. We'll get back to that. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. Beautiful.
Okay.
So it seems that all the commentaries, if you look at most of the commentaries, they come out and they say it's negative. Girls going out, especially back then, it's where a woman should be inside, internal, not necessarily being external, not going out forward and being aggressive and being out there to the rest of the world, because the world is a dangerous place. Just very, very simple. The world is a dangerous place. To this day, the world is a dangerous place. Mm-hmm. Even today, we don't recognize it as such. Back then, it was definitely much more recognized. But today, it's still a dangerous place. So that is the typical conversation. And up to now, honestly, up to today, really, even for myself, that was the typical. If you look at almost all the commentaries that you'll find, more of a negative type of connotation. And yet, though, I want to take this in a completely different way. Because now I've seen, otherwise, there's a couple other questions that we're going to see contradictory points here that are going to show us the exact opposite, that it's not negative. That it's actually not negative. And quite opposite. So let's move into that. First and foremost, Leah. When did Leah go out? Again, there is a clear direction that just like daughter went out, just like the daughter went out and got in all this thing, her mother went out, and it's like mother like daughter. Where did the mother go out? Where do we see the mother went out? The mother went out in what context? It says that the mother went out when her son Reuven found this, can you say it? In Dodaim are what is the plant that is considered like a fertility plant?
Pomegranate.
Not pomegranate. It's called, anyone know it? Jasmine. 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 Anyone heard of the jasmine? No? That's your name. So it's a fertility, what?
I think it was more like, just a symbol for fertility. I don't think it really
has it's not really?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. So there's a trans, whatever the fertility plant, there's a goat something, goats.
There's roots that they use.
Roots, yeah. So the roots that her son found, she bargained with Rachel. Rachel came up and said, you know, I wouldn't want that because I need help with that. So she gave her. And so what the reason why she gave her that was now they switched positions. Basically, tonight would be the night that she could be with Yaakov. And she switched positions with Yaakov. And it says there, Vitetze Lea. And she what? Went out. She went out to meet her husband and brought him into the tent. Right? In that context, first of all, is also superfluous. Who cares that she went out? Does it really affect anything? Does the Torah need to tell us a specific event thousands of years ago that she actually went out of her tent to go greet her husband? Like, who cares?
Doesn't that usually not happen back then? That the woman goes out to...
Right, correct. That's also... It's an unusual... It's definitely unusual. It's usually, you know, again, within the tent and the confines. But the Torah went out of its way to tell us that she went out to meet and greet her husband to bring him into the tent. So Rashi there describes that she went out. What was she going out? It says that she so desired, she had such a passion to build the Jewish people. She had such a zealousness for it that she desired that it happened so much that she pushed the envelope. She was aggressive about it. She was forward about it. She did everything about it. She was so into building the Jewish people. It was such a goal of hers, such a passion in life, that she would do anything to make sure that it happened. And therefore, she was, quote unquote, an outgoer. Meaning, in essence, it was telling us she was passionate and she was aggressive and she was outgoing about it. And again, the praise that she gets for that is that night that God listened to her expression. In the conversation, there's no expression. It's just she made an action. She went out. And yet God, it says, listened to her expression, listened to her voice, and she was able to have another child. And she was able to build even more than what she was deserving to get amongst the Jewish people, right? So that expression of going out, tetze, the positivity of it, of his going out, was what? Again, was it negative or positive? Extremely positive. Extremely positive. That what was it saying? That she was going out there to fulfill her destiny, and she would do anything to make sure it would happen. And she made it happen. So going back to Dina, is it a positive or negative? It's definitely positive. If this is the source to where we see mother like daughter, we see that it's a very positive trait. The trait is what? I'm going to fulfill my destiny. I'm going to go and fulfill my role and my purpose in this world. It's going to happen no matter what. I'm going to make sure it accomplishes. Nothing will stop me. No barriers, no nothing. It's going to happen.
But how did she know that was her destiny to step out and basically be raped?
Oh, great point. Let's.
I think if she knew, she wouldn't have gone.
Yeah.
So here, obviously if she knew that was going to happen, she probably wouldn't have gone out. But
right.
let's develop. We're not there yet.
Okay.
Let's build the next step. That's the main question. Correct. Going back to destiny, it says that in a very, very difficult, this I never understood until this moment, this point. In the epic battle between Esav and Yaakov, Yaakov is going out, and it says there that when he's going out to meet his brother, it said all of that Dinah, it was clearly that it says, it mentions all of the children, all of the men. And the commentators jump in and ask, well, okay, you're mentioning all the kids. And you numbered the kids, but you're missing one. Who's missing? When Yaakov is meeting Esav, one of the kids are missing, meaning in the count, and it only seemingly mentions in masculine all the boys. So who's missing? Dinah's missing. Where's Dinah? What happened to Dinah? When Yaakov is meeting his brother, right? He sees all the family is present. Everyone's there except for Dinah. Where's Dinah? What happened to her? So the commentators bring a source from the oral law that says that Dinah, where was she? She was hidden in a box. She was hidden in a box. Why was she hidden in the box? What? This is before this, by the way. That's a good point. I apologize for the chronological order. Remember, this is before we entered into the land. Remember, this happened. Yaakov is coming back into the land of Israel. He's meeting his brother right at the border there. And then after the test, he goes and he's able to settle. And that's when the rape happens afterwards. Right? So this is before. So why was she in the box? In order that what? Esav doesn't see her. Yaakov intentionally put her into a, you know, like a hiding spot. It says literally in a box. So that Esav would not take a look at her. Because he didn't want his brother to look at this girl and become attracted to her and say, you know, I'm gonna marry this girl.
Wait, Esav is who?
It's Yaakov's brother.
It's Yaakov's brother.
Her uncle.
It's her. Yes, it's her uncle. Yeah.
Was he a bad guy?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back. So let me give a description of who Esav was again. Esav was a known pillager, robber, rapist, massive terrorist, basically a very, very bad dude, right? And that's putting it mildly.
Was dad like him?
I mean, he was a massive, what?
His dad liked him, didn't he?
His dad liked him, yeah, which we can get back to in a second. The guy was a lowlife. I'm saying a massive one. And he was a womanizer. He was a pure, like, barbarian. You imagine, like, a massive barbarian type of guy? That was Esav, right? So let me ask you a question. If you were about to meet this barbarian,
mm-hmm.
this massive barbarian who's a womanizer, who's an abuser, would you want him to look at your daughter?
No.
Huh?
No change.
Would anyone here think that that's like a normal thing to do?
Do anything?
Huh?
Said being blood related, like.
Not for him.
He didn't care.
No. He doesn't care. As far as we would know, he doesn't care.
That's not too
That's not too close to your comfort. No. No. So how many people here would be like, yeah, no problem. Yeah, take a look. Here's my daughter, you know, in blind open sight to you. Right? Is this a normal thing? Yeah. Is it a normal thing you would
if it's their only form of security, you know, if there's no other way to protect himself from him, then that's the...
You're saying to sacrifice his daughter. Okay. I mean...
No. I'm saying if that's the only way they can protect her is to put her in the box, and that's what they have to
do. Ah, that's what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
There's other ways to protect her.
You think there's other ways, but I'm saying, would anyone be like, it's okay to go meet your nice uncle, Asaf?
No.
No. Right? You'd be nuts. What are you thinking? You're not going to meet this barbarian guy. And yet, listen to what the commentators say. Which is, I mean, it's the oral law basically brings down. And since he prevented his daughter, Yaakov is punished. He's punished, and it was prevented, he prevented his brother from seeing her. Maybe, and here's the incredible language, maybe she would have transformed him and brought him back to a proper straight path. Wow. What? Really?
She's not a child
as we would pursue her like a regular child. No. She's already seemingly in that world, whatever, excluding her age, she's already a mature woman.
Yeah.
A mature girl, let's put it this way. So, do you hear this again? It's like what? Yaakov is punished. Literally, the language is punished. Not something bad happened. Oh, he should have. Punished. Punishment. Why? Because he prevented his brother from getting married to Dina, who could have transformed him and brought him to a better path.
But it doesn't mean she
would. Wow. That's first of all, that's the first question, right?
This is coming from Aesop, like that's his reasoning of why he's punishing his brother.
No, again. So just to be clear, this is coming from spiritual sources now.
Oh.
Now we're talking godly sources, right? This is like God speaking in essence and quotes. Because you prevented your brother from seeing Dina, she could have transformed Asaph, potentially. Could have transformed Asaph, potentially, and brought him to a better path.
That is written in the Torah.
That is written in the oral law.
Wait, who writes the oral law?
It's from Mount Sinai, basically, the concepts.
So this is what Rashi said?
This is Rashi bringing it down, yeah. Can you stop and, like, really? You're going to bring your daughter to see this evil man, right? This barbarian, and you're gonna get punished because you prevented him from seeing your daughter. But he's a barbarian. He's a womanizer. He's a crazy person. Like, hello. Of course you're not supposed to go let your daughter see this guy and just like be like, okay, maybe you'll bring him back to goodness. No. He's an evil guy. Like, no. That's not happening with my daughter. And yet, Yaakov is punished.
What did he
do? What do you mean?
I mean, the...
Was he got beat up, or he got thrown in?
No, so the punishment is kind of the...
The whole ordeal.
The resulting ordeal happens because of Dina. Imagine, because think about it, just practically speaking, if Esav marries... If Esav marries Dina, Shechem is not coming. No guy is ever going to come ever close again to Dina, right? I mean, that's for sure. Esav would make sure that would happen, you right? You follow?
Her uncle is Esav.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what? How? Really? So, first and foremost, we have to say and we must know that the power and how powerful Dina is, that the Torah can go and say that. Imagine her energy. Imagine her power. Right? think about it. If that is what the Torah, basically Hashem is saying internally, this woman is so powerful, so incredible, that she can transform, she has the ability to transform an Esav. She has the ability to transform a complete, in essence, wicked person and bring him to an exalted level. We're talking about a super wicked guy. She has the power to transform him. Someone that basically, who was his father? His father was one of the greatest, right? His father's Yitzchak. One of the greatest of the greats, right? His mother is Rivka. He grew up with Yaakov. None of them could transform him, right? Not Yaakov, not Rivka, not Yitzchak, not even Abraham, because Abraham knew him also until he was 15 years old. He had a relationship with him. Could any of these people transform him? No. And yet, the Torah is coming to tell us that little Dina could do it. She had the power. She had the ability. Crazy. Unbelievable. Where did she get that power?
Her mom.
Where did she get that power? She got it from her mother. Remember what we said?
Mm-hmm.
She was going out. Why was she going out? She was going out to build, to construct, to change, to build up people. And we see this in an incredible incident even beforehand. One step before this. So when we're introduced to Rachel and Leah, right, the two sisters, Rachel and Leah, it says that Leah had soft eyes. Why did she have soft eyes? You know, first it says Rachel was incredibly beautiful. Incredibly beautiful. That's the description of Rachel. And Leah's description was?
Ugly.
She had description was she had soft eyes. Soft eyes. Why did she have those soft eyes? Because, I mean, it's a strange description if you think about it, right? You know, Rachel's a normal description, a beautiful, elegant woman. And Leah, oh, her eyes were soft. You know, like, okay, that's, you know, like, you know, sort of. What does that mean? It's like maybe a nice way of saying, okay, she had nice eyes, right? You know, like, everything else I don't know about.
You can't even say nice, okay. You have to say soft.
Right, you have to say something nice, right? Soft. Why did she have soft eyes? It says because she was crying. Why was she crying? She was crying because it was stated, there are two daughters to this family, to Lavan's family, and it's stated that there's two sons to Rivka's family, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So, very easy. There's a nice pair there, the twins. The twins marry sisters. So Yaakov will marry who? Rachel. And Esav will marry?
Leah.
Oh,
no.
See where the destiny is heading? So now Leah was supposed to marry Esav. But what was she doing? She was praying and crying about the destiny of what's happening. I'm going to marry this guy. This guy is going way off. This is who I'm supposed to marry? So she's praying and crying. That's what she was known. That's why her eyes were soft. Because of the tears. Every night of tears. So what happened? What happens? Everyone knows the crazy story that she happened, right? We discussed it even in LAJ. And when we went to Rachel's tomb. What happened? She got traded. Basically, Yaakov was supposed to marry Rachel, and last minute, what happens? Leah gets replaced. So did you ever wonder, in that story, like, what happened next? Yeah. Like, okay, you know, at night, it was Rachel, and then she agreed to be replaced and gave her the code language that they set up between Yaakov and Rachel, because he knew Yaakov wasn't stupid, he knew his... His father-in-law was a shyster. He knew he was a tricky individual from start to finish. So they made up a code language, and then Rachel gave Leia the code language because she saw that her sister was going to be utterly embarrassed when she wouldn't know the code. So she gave her the code. But that night, the wedding night, in the morning, when Yaakov realized that it's actually who? That it's Leia? Mm-hmm. And that's what the Torah says. And it came to the morning and he realized it's Leia. But it doesn't tell us what was the conversation. What happened next? So the oral law, the Medrash, tells us what happened next. What the conversation was. What do you think the conversation was? Like, Yaakov wakes up and like, oh my goodness, what are you doing here? Like, what? Like, what are you doing here? And he says to her, you're the daughter of a liar. You're a daughter of the liar. How could you lie to me? How could you lie to me? This is the conversation that's in the, again, in the scripture in the oral law. So you know what she says back to him? Such a powerful statement. She's definitely a Jewish woman. Don't mess with her, right? So she says back to him, I learned it from, you ever watch that? You guys ever see that commercial? When I was growing up, there was a commercial on, you know, with the drugs, right? And the dad comes to the son and says, where'd you learn how to do this? Where'd you get this stuff? Where'd you learn how to do this? And the kid says, I learned it from watching you, Dad. Right? I don't know if you ever saw that. Right? Smoking. When marijuana was illegal. Right? Back in the day. Okay, anyway. So you can see back to what we're talking about. So she says basically that. I learned it from watching you. He says, what? I learned it from the best, she said. I learned it from the best of the best. Yaakov says, what do you mean you learned it from the best of the best? Well, I heard that there was a father that loved one son. And he said, you know what? I want you to go give me some good food and I'll give you all the blessings. Well, there was another son that stepped in and said, when the father asked, hey, where are you, Esav? Is that you, Esav? Because his father was blind at the time already and he couldn't see. And the son, a certain son in quotes, came and said, yes, it is I. Your firstborn, Esav. And she said, I learned it from the best. Wow. I learned it from the person that said, I'm the firstborn. It's Esav. Who said that?
Yaakov.
So was Yaakov meant to get Leah all along there?
So 1 second. So Yaakov.
Yeah, dude.
So Yaakov. You can imagine, like, whoa, really? She really just did that? Like, she said that, and she did. So what was she saying? She was saying such a much more powerful destiny statement. Once you said, I am Esav, I'm taking the role of Esav, everything changed in destiny.
Oh.
Destiny had just changed. I'm now with you. You're Esav. You took on the role. You changed destiny. I changed destiny. That's exactly what Leia was about. Changing destiny. She went and brought that down to her daughter. We see that in the power. So much so in the power that she was supposed to then take over the mantle now of her mother to marry Esav. And change him and transform him. In the end, I saw one commenter, in the end, he was part of the family. Don't forget, he came from Yitzchak. He came from Rivka. He had the potential. He had it inside of him. There was a massive, massive amount of energy and power. You don't go and do all the things that he did, again, for wickedness. But all that energy and power could have been changed with Dina to be able to change it to do what? For the positive. She had that energy. She had that power. She had that destiny. And even in the end, there's so many more other crazy connections. But even in the end, what was her goal? What was she trying to do? Remember, was she just going to the mall to have a good time to find girlfriends to hang out with and go shopping? No. What was she doing going out to the daughters? What was she doing? She was going out to the daughters of the land. What was her goal? What was her purpose?
Find a husband for Asa?
No.
A wife.
Spread light onto other nations.
To go and spread light onto those girls there in her generation. She said, I'm going to go do it. She wasn't going out to hang out and party and do all kinds of crazy things. What are we talking about? Talking about a woman that is a massive powerhouse. A woman that's here to spread light and energy and goodness to the world. She's out there. She's going. She's doing it. And in even a crazy set of events that happened, when the sons, when her brothers, Shimon and Levi, wiped out the town. They wiped out the town, except for who? They didn't wipe out who? The women. The women, what happened to the women?
They married Jews.
They joined the family. They came into the Jewish people.
So technically, are they Jewish though?
No. Back then they were. It was different.
back then, the ones that wanted to be would. I guess the ones that didn't kind of went off. But the ones that wanted to be, the ones that who affected. In the end, even in the craziest set of events, Dina still was able to what? Have destiny come through. She was going out to do what? Change the people. Transform the people. And even in the end, even in the crazy, again, horrific event that happened to her, the end result was what? The girls were brought into the light, into being transformed.
So how did she know that was her destiny?
How did she know she was a destiny? Everyone knows where we come from, what our sources are, what our energies are, what our powers are. We know. Internally we know. Except what? There's two things that prevent us from accomplishing this. And we see that in Yaakov. What was the main thing that prevented? What was the main thing that caused this whole crazy set of events that changed, I guess, the destiny at least, with that act to the negative, but again, overall, it still happened. But what was that event that prevented?
Fear.
Fear. That fear of, I can't let this happen. I can't let out the power out. I mean, again, Yaakov, let's at least understand this. Yaakov was punished. Why is he punished? Again, we can look at it as a preventive father and a preventive act, and you know, we understand it, but we don't understand it. You know why? Because we don't understand the power of Leah. And Yaakov understood the power of Dina. He understood who the power of Dina was. He knew his daughter, and for that, he should have known. Yes, she has the ability to transform. That is why he's punished. Otherwise, why is he punished? Just to be mean? Like what? What? Doesn't make any sense.
How does he know, though?
He knows the power of his daughter. He understands who she is, what her characteristic traits, what she has internally to be able to affect and transform people.
But I feel like he was just being a dad. Like, you wouldn't be
a You're dad. Right. He was being a dad, and he's punished for it. You prevent someone from accomplishing their destiny, you suffer the consequence. That it's a tough pill. Again, I would never say this. I would never be able to tell you that this was correct other than the Torah is telling us that. Me as a father, of course. What are you kidding me? Protect. Put barriers. Put walls. Put her in the trunk. Of course. Don't let her out. Right? Of course. But the Torah is coming to tell you otherwise. You have to transform this world.
So how do
you have an obligation. You have to transform yourself. And then once you transform yourself, you have an obligation to affect everyone around you and society as a whole. You have that obligation. And if you don't, here is the powerful lesson. This is the novel concept of what we're getting. If you don't, there is massive consequences to it. You have a role and a destiny. You cannot be afraid of it.
So it's because he acted out of insecurity?
Sorry. Acted out of insecurity and fear. Yes, insecurity and fear. Again, we understand it. This is why this is such a difficult topic and like a mind-blowing topic. We understand it. But anyways, even if we understand it, you cannot be afraid of your destiny. And number two, the second part that was the challenge that's less a little bit seen but very clear, society. Imagine his daughter goes and marries, the local criminal. You know, good Jewish girl, you just let her marry this criminal loser? What are you kidding me? What's society going to say about you?
I don't think people would have been saying too much.
I mean, you can imagine the societal pressure not to let this type of thing happen. Societal pressure. How much does societal pressure prevent us from growing? Prevent us from achieving our destiny. Those are the two most common things that prevent us from transforming and achieving our destiny. This is what we learned from Dina. Dina is a powerhouse. She is a light. She has the ability to transform. She has the ability to change. She has the ability to make massive influences. Just like her mother. We internally also have that ability. In each and one of you in your own way. In our own understanding, in our own talents, we understand what we have and what we are internally. Everyone does. A lot of times it's scary, you're nervous, you don't want to know, you don't want to care, because you know what? The potential, you know what one thing is? It's scary, it's fearful. That means if I really have that massive potential and I'm not accomplishing, whoa, that is a daunting thing. So what? It's either two, there's excuses. No, I'm not so great. I'm not so big. I don't really have that much potential. I'm not such a big person. I can't really accomplish. That's really for other people. I'm just a little person, so I don't really have that much potential, so I don't really have to do so much. No, it's not true. And number two, the excuse. You know, what will my friends say? What will my family say? What will other people say if I do something out of the norm of what society is doing, or what my family is doing, or what my parents are doing, or my kids are, excuse me, what my other classmates are doing? Mm-hmm. It's a massive lesson, that we have to take to heart and take to life. It's a scary thing because on the one thing, it's scary to go out. It's scary to go out to do these things. To put the pressure on ourselves to say, yeah, I need to accomplish. I need to accomplish my destiny. I need to find my destiny. I have to understand my destiny. And then I have to actually go accomplish it. Yeah, so I think I'll go back to Shana. So. Yeah.
No, just reminding me of what you're saying is that a lot of successful people, they always say, if I can do it, so can you. Like, meaning that, like, really, like, don't think that I'm so great.
I'm just like you. 100%.
So many successful people in different areas of life.
Correct. It's great. That's an amazing point. It's an amazing point. Yes. Everyone that is a massive light that is accomplishing, I'm telling you. What Shane is saying is a great ending. Yes, every person that is a massive light that is massively accomplished, in the end, there are people. They're people. And they're in their eyes and probably in reality, they're average, quote-unquote, at a certain point. And at a certain point, they decided on their own and said, you know what? I have to accomplish my destiny. I have to transform. And with that switch, it's like, nothing's going to stop me. I mean, look at Leia. Look at Dina. Nothing's going to stop me from accomplishing. Nothing. I'm just going to plow through everything that stands in my way. Of course, there's roadblocks. Of course, there's difficulties. I mean, look at we didn't really build up. It's the next step. But if you look, Leia's life is difficult. Tragedy. She's always figuring out, you know, when my husband will love me. Maybe this will happen. Maybe that one. It's not an easy life. Maybe it's Esau, and it's not an easy life. It's not all of a sudden you decide you're going to plow through everything. You're going to do it. You're going to accomplish. It's going to be easy. It's not. It's incredibly difficult. The challenges are challenges. They're real. But in the end, the accomplishment is the accomplishment. And we're obligated. That's the way you have to look at it. You're obligated. You can't stop. Yeah.
She
was up and then
coming.
Yeah.
How do we figure out what our destiny is?
Right. So again, what I was trying to say is, internally, if you look into yourself without being afraid. In a legitimate way, you will figure it out, based on who you are, based on your family, based on your talents, mm-hmm. based on your own understanding of yourself. In a real way, strip away all your inhibitions, strip away your fears, and strip away the societal pressure. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not going to happen with a snap of the fingers.
But
if you honestly do those things, you can figure it out internally.
You need to have a spiritual... Because I've had that happen for me. I know my destiny. And no, I really do. And I tried to stop my destiny, and I was like, because my destiny is not an easy destiny. So it's like being born gay, or like... Some people are like, I don't want to do it. It's like, I've been an actor, a movie star. It's a hard career. And it's like, part of me just would be like, oh, anything else. But I know that's my purpose. And it happened in a spiritual way. Like I was moving in a movement class connecting to God, right?
Right. So I guess.
No, but
God is a sham, I know. So
something came through me, though, is my point.
Right.
What you're talking about. And I realized.
Right. So I'm not talking about having prophecy, but there's definitely a moment. There is definitely a moment where, you know, if we're saying destiny, I mean, this is a given. There's destiny. It's not just this, you know, I guess Buddhism has this concept called karma.
Yeah.
Which, if you look at it, is absolutely ridiculous. From their it's not, no, I'm saying from logic, it's not logical, because is there a God or is there not a God that controls the destiny? Well, no, they just say is this thing called karma. No, there's not. If there's a God, there's a karma that... What?
A lot of things in Judaism are not logical.
I beg to differ. Maybe you may not see it as logical, but it's definitely super logical. I mean, everything that I've seen is either pretty super logical. Again, maybe our brains at certain times don't comprehend it, but it is. I mean, again, we can talk about what individual things. There's definitely good examples, and I'm not saying that there's not things that don't look. But overall, I'm saying, is this the idea of karma? Well, is there someone running the karma, or is there not? If there's no one running karma, there's no such thing as karma. It's just random karma, so then it's not karma, right? So we're obviously, one of my point is that there's someone running karma, right? Which means someone running destiny. That means every single person on this planet, and especially if you're a Jew, have a role in the destiny. You have to fulfill it. You have an obligation to fulfill it. You have an obligation to find out what it is, and you have an obligation to fulfill it. And you have also that same obligation, like Dina, like Leia, to blow through